How many of you felt the earthquake? Who did not? That was interesting. Now, was that because you were in the car at the time? Okay, that might have been part of it. Yeah, it looked like about half felt it. Those of you who did feel that earthquake, was that the first time you had ever felt an earthquake? Yeah, okay. Now, Caitlin said she had to come back from San Francisco to experience an earthquake. What did it feel like? The ground shook. It's not supposed to do that. I know for me, I was in my office, and my first thought was that, well, Mel was on the roof. Not an unusual place for Mel to be, but you don't have to tell him that when he comes back. But then I thought, no, Mel and a couple other stewards are on the roof. And then there's an elephant on the roof. And then the ground was kind of moving. Weird. When the ground moves beneath you, kind of changes things, doesn't it? Now, I'm talking with some others. They didn't like that feeling. I didn't particularly like it either. But now, we have just heard some really sweet words, and I use that word sweet as, you know, a younger generation might put it. Not necessarily nice words, but sweet. But I got to tell you, they're not easy words. I mean, you couldn't say about this what, do you remember the Jackson 5 a long time ago when Michael Jackson was still living and was a little kid? And he would sing, and they sang ABC. It's easy as 1, 2, 3, or simple as do, re, mi, ABC, 1, 2, 3. That's how easy love can be. Hardly. Let me just spend some time with these words from Paul. And here is where Paul is actually revealing some of his training. You know that before he became an apostle, Paul was a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees were the precursors to the modern, what we nowadays call rabbis. This was the beginning of the rabbinical movement. And there was in the rabbinical movement, they had particular habits in getting some things across. And they would, and if you could pay attention to the original language here, you'd be able to see it. For here, these are not verbs in verses 9 through 13. These are participles. Now, I'm not an English major. Grammar was not my biggest thing. But these are participles, sort of like imperatives. And this is something that rabbis have used down through the centuries to sort of say, lift up rules and codes to live by. And it could well be that the Apostle Paul was here just following suit and maybe even repeating some things that were a part, very much a part of the early church. That he wasn't expressing anything new as he was saying these things. The people who were listening were going, yeah, 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 I've heard that. Just laying out some simple, and you might even say that this was sort of an idealized picture of the early church. These imperatives, these participles. Let me just go through them, little by little. Where he says, let agape, which is God's kind of love, be anhypocritous. In other words, not hypocritical. Don't let your love be hypocritical. When it comes to evil, shudder. Shun. Turn aside from. Keep away from. That doesn't mean evil people. It means evil. Maybe even evil in yourself. When you see it, realize it's there. Shudder. Abhor evil. Cleave to, cling to, hold fast to the good. Join with it, unite with it, come in close contact with it. Where you see good, just kind of snuggle up to it. Where you see evil, now you gotta remember, this is not people. This is evil. Kind of the bad stuff. Now remember this, as we will be coming back to this later on. And then it goes on to a verse that repeats the word Philadelphia. It actually says Philadelphia. Now it's not talking about the Phillies or that other football team, you know, that plays there that just happened to beat the Ravens the other week. But Philadelphia is brotherly love. And not only is it to say this once, I mean, it talks about agape love, which is God's love, but there's brotherly or sibling or you know, relational kind of love. Not only does it say it once, it says it twice there. And the words just go there. The Greek word is, you don't need to know what the Greek word, but it means one another. So brotherly love, one another, brotherly love, one another. It's trying to get it across that this is an important part of the picture of who we are supposed to be. That this love should be just permeating through we are, such that we, and the word here is saying we esteem others. We lift them up. Because that's what brotherly love does. It doesn't put down. It lifts up others. Then it goes on to talk about zeal. When it comes to zeal, don't be slothful. That's the word, what it means, slothful. Not slacken. When it comes to zeal, don't be slothful. When it comes to spirit, and here the connection is to the Holy Spirit, the power of God within us. And that word is pneuma, from which we get the word pneumatic. You know, a pneumatic machine is one that operates by air and pushes. When it comes to spirit, burn. Be fervent. But don't just burn for any old reason. Sometimes we just spin our wheels just thinking busyness means importance. But what's important is serving the Lord. That is what makes things burn. When it comes to hope, rejoice in it. When it comes to affliction or suffering, don't quit. That's what the words mean. When it comes to prayer, keep at it. When it comes to the needs of the saints, and the saints not being some list that some pope or bishop decides or some committee decides are saints. The saints, the hagios, that's the word in Greek. The saints are just the people. When it comes to the needs of the saints, share, impart, give, pursue hospitality. That's Paul's rabbinical list, or Pharisaical list, I would say. But then he shifts over into gospel. And you start thinking, oh, he's quoting Jesus here. He says, from there, bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse. Which we hear echoes of Jesus saying, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Or bless those who curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Bless. You know what that word is? You've heard it, actually. The word is eulogy. You ever hear that word before? Where do we hear that? At a funeral. What is it? What is a eulogy? Basically means logy, word, a praise. Again, that lifting people up. Lifting up in a dark hour. Lifting up even those who curse, who persecute you. Going on, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. I mean, be real about it. Have a common mind. Don't everybody think the same, but live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty. In other words, don't set your mind, this is repeating the same word, don't set your mind on stuff that's so high and mighty and, oh, I'm so good. But rather, associate with the lowly, the humble. Don't claim to be wiser. And again, this is the same word, mind. Don't claim to be wiser than you are. And here we hear echoes of the Proverbs where it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Do not respond with evil for evil, but rather provide good things before all people. And we hear echoes of what Jesus said. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. That's what Matthew, how Matthew remembered it. Luke remembered it as anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. And then it says, if possible, so far as it rests with you, live at peace with all. All, not just a few. All. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, for they will be called children of God. Do not avenge, beloved, but give place for wrath. And here it is thinking of God's wrath. For it is written, to me, God says, belongs vengeance. And I will be the one to repay. Quoting Deuteronomy 32:35, vengeance is mine in recompense for the time when their foot shall slip, because the day of their calamity is at hand. Their doom comes swiftly. Then it goes on, you've heard these words before. If anyone hungers, and anyone specifically, the enemy, your enemy, what should you do? They hunger? Feed them. They thirst? Give them drink. For by doing this, you put coals of fire, heaping it on their heads. In the Proverbs, it says, if your enemies are hungry, give them bread to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink, for you will heap coals of fire on their head, and the Lord will reward you. Do not be conquered, that's the word, by evil, but rather conquer with good evil. A, B, C. Easy as 1, 2, 3. Simple as do, re, mi, A, B, C. 1, 2, 3. That's how easy love can be. No, it's not. It's important to say that on the day before Labor Day. Okay? Labor is not just a time, day is not just a time to relax and do nothing or just have a cookout. Labor is supposed to remember something, you know, the labors of those who went before us. Love is labor. It's hard work. Something we always got to remember. This is, you know, when we hear these words, they're so nice, they're sweet, they're good, and they are the hardest thing in the world to do. How could you do this if not for the Lord? For where does love begin? Where does love end? Where does peace begin? Where does it ultimately lead toward? I believe that the whole point of this is said in the very first words. Let love be genuine. Let it be real. Be real. Not something fake. Not something that is easy to say, but not to do. Let love be the real McCoy. Remember that phrase, the real McCoy? I did some research on this. Let's see, what did I find? That the real McCoy, actually, it's not the real McCoy. It is the real McKee. It goes back to Scotland. The real McKee. It's actually talking about a family. And the drop of their blood, I guess. Also had to do, I think, with some scotch that they made. But that's beside the point. The real McCoy, authentic, real, be real. You know, you can't be real without the other stuff. I mean, the disciple Peter, were you listening this morning to the gospel lesson? Where Peter is, Jesus calls him the rock. Because he has stumbled onto the truth and says it. And you're going to be the rock upon which I build the church. But then he stumbles all over it because he's got his mind on unreal love. Because unreal love thinks that it's easy. Unreal love thinks that everything's just going to be honky-dory all the time. It's not. There are going to be times when the earth shakes. There are going to be storms. Next week, what are we going to be remembering? 9/11. The ground shook beneath our feet then, didn't it? We discovered that the world was not quite as honky-dory as we thought. Of course, we have some questions as we remember. How have we responded since then? Have we made matters better or worse? And that's an open question. That's an open question. Always is. Always should be for those who follow Jesus. An open question. Are we real? Are we real? Even with our enemies. Let me end just lifting up. There's two phrases, you know, that phrase about where Paul says, you know, putting coals, hot coals on the head. There's two ways of looking at that. The one is, and this is more the traditional interpretation, that says that burning coals are the fire of remorse. That if an enemy is treated this way, he may well be overcome by love in the best possible fashion, and he may become a friend. There's another way of looking at it, and I'm not sure which is right. I think they both lead in the same direction, but the other way is remembering that, you know what they didn't have back then? They didn't have lighters. They didn't have matches. How do you think they started fires? With the coals from somebody else's fire. And I've heard it said, I've read it somewhere, that a practice back then was you share with somebody your your coals from some coals from your fires that they can take to their own fire if it has gone out. Like, you know, if you lost your power this week. And a place to carry it. You know, if you put something on your head so that it doesn't burn your noggin, you carry it on your head. So if you share somebody with somebody hot coals, this enables them to start their own fire. Interesting. Put it in the for what it's worth column. Either way, be real and strive to live in peace with all persons.